Kildare Focus with Ciara Noble.
Hello and a very happy Tuesday to you. Thank you for joining me. Coming up this afternoon, we'll be speaking with the National Women's Council of Ireland on their call to government to deliver much needed systemic change. That's through Women's Health Action Plan. Mick Barry, the People Before Profit TD for Cork, saying that the government's new rent control legislation is deeply flawed and will not prevent rent increases above the rate of inflation. Donal O'Keefe, the Community Water Officer with the Local Authority Waters Programme, on issues affecting Kildare's rivers and lakes and what it's proposed to protect and restore them. And finally, I'm very much looking forward to this. We'll be speaking to the editor of Oldmoor's Almanac, reflecting on 2021 and looking ahead to 2022's predictions. I need to ask her some questions about the 2019 predictions. Was a pandemic predicted? Because if so, I am going to be making sure I highlight every prediction for next year. Do get in touch with me this afternoon. The number to get me on, it's our Whitewater text line. It is 973 97 97 97. That's WhatsApp or text. We have got the phone 045 901 490. Cuiva Harney will be able to speak with you, and we also have our email studio@kfmradio.com. Now, as I was saying a moment ago, we are joined this afternoon by the National Women's Council of Ireland. Alana Ryan is the Women's Health Coordinator. Good afternoon, Alana, and thank you for the time.
Thank you so much for having me along.
There's a lot to get through here in terms of this Women's Health Action Plan. But to begin, what do you think is the most important thing to start this interview for listeners to know?
Well, I think that the report we're publishing today really underlines the need to think about health reform through the lens of the most marginalised women. We have an essential opportunity with the forthcoming Women's Health Action Plan, which NWC has been really involved with as a member of the Department of Health's Women's Health Task Force. And that action plan can be really critical for ensuring that women have a better experience of care, have better access to care, and most importantly, have better health outcomes. But we can only deliver the opportunity that the plan brings if we think about the particular needs of women in disadvantaged communities and who are marginalised. It's so important to bring that lens.
Alana, one of the, I guess, that has risen in popularity in terms of setting up of charities to do with period poverty, that is something that affects many women. So I would assume that they would be included in those who are marginalised.
Yes, I mean, I think period poverty has been highlighted as a really considerable concern, and it was great to see that commitment in the budget for this year to allocate funding to ensure that women are able to avail of sanitary care products. But I think, you know, we need to think big picture here around all the aspects of health that impact our day-to-day lives and ensure that we're not just considering women in relation to reproductive health, but thinking about whether they have access to good mental health care. Do they have access to good GPs? Are they experiencing supportive and enabling interactions? And really what our report is finding is that across the board in those healthcare interactions, although some women report positive experiences, many feel their voices are not being heard and their concerns are being dismissed. And it's particularly the case when it's a woman from a marginalised community, so a disabled young woman or a woman of colour or a woman who is struggling because she's a single mother and is trying to access care for herself and her child. You know, I think we have to realise that our experiences as women are all very different, and there are some women who face persistent barriers, and we have to address those barriers if this action plan is going to deliver for everyone.
You know, you're mentioning there often marginalised women are silenced or feel like they're silenced. You're saying that there needs to be across all groups women voicing their frustration, obviously, and they need to be listened to. How do we ensure that these marginalised women are listened to and that they are contacted and get involved in the process?
Absolutely, and I think you're hitting the nail on the head there, because if we are going to think about a culture change in the health system, it has to be led by women and has to be co-designed by women. I think what we're pushing for is for gender sensitivity and unconscious bias training, because we need to bridge that gap between the healthcare practitioners and the women who are often socially excluded or on the margins and who may struggle to be heard and to be taken seriously in healthcare. And we see those kind of biases that are playing out in society as a whole, you know, bias against travellers, bias against disabled people, you know, a dismissal of younger women's voices, you know, not seen as having as much experience or credibility. All of these biases that we see in society as a whole do play out in the health system too. So we need to really think about the training and support package to ensure that our system is confident it can provide the right care for that diversity of need.
Now, we know that not everybody who's unfortunately in marginalised communities do finish their traditional schooling, would say, up until the age of 17, 18. And it is noted here that the absence of comprehensive health and sexuality education in schools is affecting those. So is that one of the issues that need to be tackled, the school's sex ed situation, and maybe ensuring that more is taught over the 15 years that you're in primary and secondary school, or should it be taught younger in case those who are more marginalised may leave school earlier?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the key concerns at the National Women's Council, that we need to have an education system that equips us all with the knowledge and skills to navigate the world around us. And it's why at NWC we've been submitting to the revisions of the SPHE curriculum. We really want to see it redeveloped so that it's fit for purpose and that it gives young girls and women the knowledge around their reproductive health and their menstrual health, but also it ensures that there's a critical space to talk openly about concerns or worries and have that support from a trusted adult in the room, a teacher who's giving you unbiased factual information, which is, you know, not filtered through the internet or through a religious ethos or anything which could kind of affect the information being imparted. So it is a really, really critical concern. It was one that the women who spoke with us in the workshops identified as well. And it's why at NWC we are looking at that broader piece around SPHE and sexuality education in schools to ensure that we are equipping young women with the knowledge and skills around their health and ensuring there is a voice for them in how to take that forward.
Just that we're on the topic of it and we're speaking to each other, you yourself, if you walk away from your, would say, 15, 16 years in school, whether that's secondary or primary, do you feel like your sex and health education was adequate? Or did you feel like you learned a lot more in other areas of life?
Yeah, I mean, I think that my own education, there could have been a lot of improvements there. But really, it's not about me. It's about the whole of the country and the pockets of the country that are being particularly poorly served, or particular schools which may not have the same time and resources to be putting into the curriculum and the additional kind of wraparound supports that we know some schools are able to offer. We need to have a level playing field so all children and adolescents are getting the same information and are able to have that access to support for the variety of sexual health and indeed mental health and broader health and well-being concerns that may arise.
Well, Alana, that's very interesting. Alana Ryan is the Women's Health Coordinator with the NWC, National Women's Council of Ireland. That report is available on the website for the National Women's Council, and I will give out the National Women's Council's number in a couple of minutes as well. Now, if you are somebody who's going to be buying a real Christmas tree in the next couple of days or couple of weeks, supposedly it's a good idea if you put some 7-Up in the bowl of water that you have underneath your Christmas tree. So supposedly it helps keep the Christmas tree alive, less shedding, etc., etc. I'm just reading it through here. kept it more fresh, the scent stayed for longer. Put it in water, stand up with a little 7 up, so maybe like a quarter of a can, they're saying here. So you'll get a bit more bang for your buck when it comes to your Christmas tree if you do take that advice. Now, something very different, rent. We know that County Kildare itself as a whole county is a rent pressure zone. Joining me to discuss the new rent control legislation is TD for Cork, People Before Profit or Solidarity TD, Mick Barry. Good afternoon, Mick.
Hi, Ciara.
Mick, how do you feel about this legislation? We've heard that the government's new rent control legislation, you're saying it's not going to prevent rent increases above the rate of inflation, and we know inflation is rising.
Yeah, I think the legislation that the government have brought forward is inadequate. And I think it has loopholes in it that landlords and their legal representatives will be able to drive a coach and four through. So specifically, the government are saying that they want to cap rents at 2% or the rate of inflation, whichever is the lower at any given time. Okay?
Yep.
Now, that in itself is insufficient because the feeling among tenants across the country, I think, is that at the very, very least, what is needed is a national rent freeze, which would run for maybe 3 or 4 years. In fact, many would say, you know, you're freezing rents at an unjustifiably high rate.
I was just about to say that, Mick. So if that was the case, if you were to freeze rents, would say you were in government and you were to freeze rents today, does that mean they cannot be lowered? It literally would stay at that rate for those 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, freeze means freeze. It would set them where they are now and saying that it couldn't move from that.
So it might not be the smartest thing to do in one sense.
Well, in the context when rents are rising month on month, a rent freeze would be a significant step forward. But you could go further, and I would support going further, and that is introduce legislation which would provide for the cutting or the slashing of rents, okay? But the government aren't even going there. The government are saying, we're going to set it at 2%, right? But it turns out this morning that there's a serious question as to whether their legislation even does that. Because the Irish Independent on their website are now reporting that the legislation includes provision where if a landlord didn't increase the rent, you know,
during COVID,
last year
say,
or
yes.
the year before, yeah. right, to the extent that they were legally entitled to, right, that the landlord can now add on that old rent increase to the 2%.
And just to let listeners know, potentially that could mean about a 5.9% increase next year.
Yeah, the Irish Independent website gives a concrete example of a circumstance where a landlord could increase the rent by just under 6% next year. Now, I'm not saying that every landlord will do that. I'm not saying that a majority of landlords will do it or will have the legal wiggle room to do it. But certainly, as many landlords as can will take that option. So the government are saying this is a rent cap of 2%. It is and it isn't. Landlords are going to be able to get around this. And we need to go further in any case. We need to be... The only issues that should be debated here are, is it going to be a rent freeze or is there a way to actually slash rent?
We know, for example, this time of year is incredibly difficult for many people financially. And January, February, also incredibly difficult if they have, would say, splurged or tried... Splurge isn't even the right word, but maybe try to indulge, would say, their loved ones. When it comes to the situation with rents, realistically, can anything be done between now and, would say, mid-January before Christmas, realistically, with the current state that the country and the world is in?
Yes, there are things that could be done. For example...
No, but I mean, when I say realistically, I mean realistically with the conversations you've been having with government, does it seem likely that something like this will be able to be done in the next few weeks?
Well, I think this is a landlord's government that looks out for the interests of landlords. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are chock-a-block in their parliamentary parties with people who are actually landlords themselves. And I think anything that's been introduced that has benefited tenants, they've done it through gritted teeth. They don't like stepping on the toes of landlords. But if the will were there there are many things that could be done, and I'll give you just one example. During the height of the COVID pandemic, the government was forced by public opinion and pressure to introduce a ban on evictions. Okay, there is no policy that any government in this state in the last 5 years has implemented on a housing-related issue which has been more successful than the ban on evictions. Because you'll remember that the number of people who were officially homeless was more than 10,000 at one point. And that policy alone brought the numbers down much closer to the 8,000 mark. Now, they've overturned the total ban on evictions. And ever since they overturned it earlier this year, the numbers have begun to climb and climb and climb again. So you could reintroduce that. That would be a very practical measure.
Okay, well, just before you go, Mick Barry, I do want to go through quickly the latest Staff.ie rent report. Rents are increasing at an annual rate of 6.8%. And at the beginning of this month, the report said that there were just 1,460 homes to rent on Daft.ie. That is the lowest number since its quarterly series began in 2006, which was coming to the end of the Celtic Tiger period. So take that as you may. Listen, Mick Barry, TD for People Before Profit for Cork North Central. Thank you very much for joining me this afternoon.
Kildare Focus with Ciara Noble.
Okay, I think we can all say that Christmas is here. People are having, you know, their trees up, their decorations. Some people are even buying like food already for Christmas. But people may be very happy to hear this, that you can get all parts of your favourite Christmas dinner into a packet of crisps, because Tato have released turkey and stuffing limited edition flavour. It was first released last year and it proved so popular that it's brought it back for 2021. It's available in a share bag size. They're never share bag sizes, by the way. Those, they're like one person sizes. And if you've ever wondered, they say, what Christmas dinner with Mr. Tato tastes like, wonder no more. Oh, there's a pro tip. Combine it with smoky bacon flavour for a turkey and ham experience. That might be a good idea if you're not too much of a fan of cooking like raw meat, etc. But yeah, I have to say, I would absolutely not eat a packet of turkey and stuffing. I just like cheese and onion, that type. I think it's weird when they try to make these extra flavours. I saw fish and chip flavour crisp the other day and I was like, nah, I'm out, done. Anyway, aside from turkey, ham and all the rest, you do have to have your potatoes on the day. And there's a really interesting article here on The Examiner about the perfect roast potato. Roast potatoes are my absolute favourite and you have to make them right, if that makes sense. So they're saying here that they've got the perfect way to make them. Parboil the potatoes in the skin, supposedly that's the best to do. Then dry them as well as you can after you've parboiled them. Don't get them too close together. Make sure they've got some space on the roasting tin. So don't have them like stuffed on top of each other. A lot of people, I think, do that. That's one of the problems. And you heat the fat in the oven before you add the potatoes to the tray. And then if it's possible, peel and dry each potato carefully. Toss it in olive oil or fat and put it into a bowl, cover and refrigerate. And that's good to keep it going for the few days. So hopefully that's some good advice. And I'm looking at another article here about why celebrating Christmas is good for your mental health. So hopefully I'll be able to speak with this professor from University of Bristol tomorrow and we can hear why it is a good thing to celebrate Christmas. I was speaking a couple of moments ago to People Before Profit TD for Cork North Central, Mick Barry, in regards to the government's new rent control legislation. We have a text in here on 0833 97 97 97, and I'm really sorry to hear this. It says, we are renting more than 5 years in the same house. We began our search to buy late last year, but new build prices jumped dramatically phase after phase, putting them out of reach, and the bidding wars on a trickling supply of second hand homes was the nail in the coffin. We will continue renting and saving, but our landlord is looking to sell soon. I feel sick looking at the low supply of places, and I think we cannot afford to live anywhere near Dublin, I believe, where we both work. It's a terrible situation for people trying to buy. And it really is. I know, you know, there's some people who are unsympathetic to the situation and say, oh, sure, you know, aren't you able to rent, etc., etc. But as this listener points out, this landlord is looking to sell soon. And the truth is that you never know. Look, we know we don't have control over anything in life, if this pandemic has taught us anything. But it's a terrible weight on your shoulders, not knowing what's going to happen in terms of where you're living. But thank you, Texter, for getting in touch. And hopefully you, I hope for you that you're in a better situation in the next few months. But thank you for reaching out to us. Now, moving on to water issues that are affecting, or issues I should say, that are affecting Kildare's rivers and lakes. It is Donal O'Keefe, the Community Water Officer with the Local Authorities Waters Programme, joining me. Hi, Donal.
Hi, Kira. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining me. So what is proposed to protect and restore Kildare's rivers and lakes?
Yeah, well, that's what we're going to discuss at our meeting tonight. So there's a meeting tonight in conjunction with the Public Participation Network in Kildare and with our members and followers. So we're discussing, I suppose, issues around our lakes and rivers in regards to water quality. So water quality is so important for our health, mm-hmm. you know, for industry, for big our jobs locally, and of course our environment and our flora and fauna.
Donal, so give me the main issues that are coming up time and time again with people.
Sir, like drinking water is taken from our rivers and lakes, and people often ask me queries on that, on how healthy it is. Certainly there's issues from the agricultural sector who produce our food, and the issues they have with, I suppose, losing nutrients, excess nutrients into the water, which can affect water quality. And obviously then there's our wastewater that is treated and put back into our waterways. So that's the management of that and making sure that all in good working order, our treatment plant, it can be an issue as well.
Donal, what areas of the county are most affected by this?
Well, I suppose our meeting tonight is to hear from the public and their point of view. So at the moment, there's a draft river basin management plan out at the moment, and the plan is a national plan, but it's also a local plan, and there's priority areas within that plan. So we want to hear about and discuss and get submissions on local water quality challenges.
Okay, if listeners are hearing you this afternoon and they want to get in touch and get involved in the meeting later, where can they go about to do so?
Yeah, you can email myself at dokeefe, so dokeefe at lawaters, with an S at the end, .ie,
yeah.
And I'll send them on the link.
Okay, so, it's a Zoom link, is it?
Yeah, it's on Zoom tonight, so you just have to register with an email and name, and you'll be straight into the meeting tonight.
Okay. Okay, so it is held in consultation with the Kildare Public Participation Network members, discussing the issues affecting the whole county's rivers and lakes, and it begins at 7:30. And as Donal said, it is on Zoom. And just to give out his email again, it's D-O-Keefe, K-E-E-F-E at lawaters with an S at the end, .ie. Thank you very much to Donal O'Keefe, the Community Water Officer with the Local Authorities Waters Programme, for joining me. Now, in regards to the mortgages and the renting situation, a texter has been in touch saying, I think if you had a mortgage, it would work out half the price of rent. And it so would. You're so right. It does work out. Sometimes even a third of the price of rent. So it's absolutely crazy how people cannot buy. It's not as if people aren't trying. I know when it comes to younger people, they're kind of saying, oh, you spent all your money on the avocado toast. I've heard that argument be made before, but nah, I don't think so. I just think it's out of reach for the majority of...
Kildare Focus with Kira Noble.
I'm really hungry after speaking about Christmas dinner and roast potatoes and all the rest. And I see here on the Irish Times, they have 100 of the best restaurants and places to eat in Ireland 2021. It's a 41-minute read. And I was just scrolling through it. And one of the places, it's under the subheadline of 14 great places worth a special journey or a special visit, is I'm sure in Selbridge in County Kildare. I can't see any others in County Kildare at the moment, but it is a 41-minute read. And obviously, I haven't got through the whole thing as of yet. Now, I'm very excited to speak to my next guest, who's Nicole Buckler, the editor of Old Moore's Almanac. She is going to be reflecting on 2021 and looking ahead to 2022's predictions. Good afternoon, Nicole.
Good afternoon.
You are, or is it afternoon where you are?
It's actually the middle of the night.
Okay. I love it. You're over in Oz, are you?
I'm trapped in Australia. That's the one.
You're trapped. See, girl, it's cold over here. You're probably better off being trapped in Australia, honestly.
Yeah, I know. I'm not the Gold Coast. I'm at the Gold Coast. It's not torture at all. It's really good, actually.
It's what is it going degree wise?
Well, actually, it's been raining all day. Oh, okay. And I was like, oh, memories of Ireland.
Oh. That makes you feel
better. A bit cold today.
Okay. It must have been weird when you came over to Ireland actually having like cold Christmases and stuff. Was that odd for you?
Oh, but you know what? Over here, the Christmases suck. Over there, the Christmas is a whole season. Over here, it's a day. And
yeah.
I really miss an Irish Christmas. I really miss it.
Oh, well, hopefully us over here in Ireland will be able to get it. Yeah, I always find it interesting. I have relatives, actually cousins over in Australia, and I remember as kids they came over and we had a really, really white Christmas and they were absolutely fascinated and they started getting the whole, oh, snowmen and, you know, Santa on his sleigh in the snow and stuff. Yeah it doesn't click if you're used to gorgeous sunny days on Christmas. Listen, you're not here to talk about Christmas. Maybe you can predict Christmas 2022 if it will go well or not. but you're here to talk about Oldmore's Almanac and it's so interesting. My first question, Nicole, is in 2019, was it predicted that there'd be a pandemic in 2020?
So there were two predictions for the pandemic. One was outright, there's going to be a pandemic.
Stop.
And the other one was, and the other prediction was that there was going to be a virus that was going to act a little weird. So there were the two predictions. They're in separate sections of the 2020 almanac.
Okay.
But that was the two predictions, yeah.
Okay. So just that just shows people this was published at the end of 2019. I know, you know, the situation in Wuhan, we kind of started hearing about it over here in Ireland. I remember reading about it actually on our newspaper review in the morning. I think it was the very first week of December 2019. I remember reading about it. So that just goes to show because there are some predictions for this year, a female Taoiseach in 2022, which will kind of whittle down the numbers as to who you could imagine would be Taoiseach next year.
Mm. Well, it's. I think the next election is 3 years away, but the prediction is she's gearing up and she's getting her alliances together. And that's quite interesting because the other prediction is that she's going to be in a coalition government that's going to be a little bit unstable. So once she gets there, she might not be able to stay there. But it is interesting, the prediction. So I'm kind of looking through every single female politician going, is it you? Is it you? So very interesting prediction, the female Taoiseach for Ireland.
Now, not good news for County Kildare because Dublin are going to win the Sam Maguire again, it says. Limerick will win the Liam McCarthy Cup again. Clem won't be too happy about that. And obviously this publication was launched 258 years ago. It's absolutely crazy.
Isn't it? And it's such a part of Irish cultural life because, and especially the generation above us, so I'm 48, so the generation above us absolutely love it and all got it when they were children and stuff. So we had the job of actually, because I started at Oldmore Almanac about 10 years ago, and we had the job of reviving it because it kind of like got, the circulation got really low. So we got hold of it and we revived it. And as soon as people heard the name, they started buying it again. It just needed a little bit of a push out there. And it's still really, really popular. We sell 57,000 hard copies, which for a hard copy magazine in Ireland, an Indigenous Irish magazine, that's amazing.
Yeah, we do have a fondness for the owl, you know, actual book or magazine in our hands here in Ireland. They have predicted some weird things happening weather-wise. We're going to have a giant wave. Now, does that mean tsunami? Don't need to worry people or anything.
Well, the kind of thing is, like, the prediction is there's a landslide, a giant wave, an earthquake, a heat wave, a drought, and a huge dump of snow. What I'll say about that is when he's predicted earthquakes before and he's got it right, the earthquakes are like the chair outside shakes a little bit. Like, we're not talking your house isn't going to fall off into a sinkhole. It's actually just a little bit. So when we're talking about a giant wave, it's probably something that's going to hit a boat or make news. So more or less he goes for things that makes the news. So we'll have to watch out for a big wave story. That's what we have to look out for.
So just to explain exactly how this works for people who don't know, these are prophecies. And as I was saying, it's 258 years old. It was originally started from a man over in Offaly, not too far from us, Theophilus Moore. He was a teacher and he wrote these predictions. So how do we then use what he has said over the past 258 years to modern day, I guess?
So the way it works now is we found a guy who is a psychic and he gives us the predictions. And we've used the same guy for about 12 or 14 years. Before then, I don't know how it was done, but this is how we do it now. So we did, when we first decided to relaunch it and we went to look for someone. It was a very bizarre string event. And we finally found someone, and he was someone who used to say to us, well, you know, tell you stuff that you no one else could know, that kind of thing. And he likes to stay under the radar, and he works for investment companies investing money. So he really likes to stay under the radar with what he can do. So he was originally told us that, I think it was back in the 2011 edition, that Bitcoin would be a thing.
Oh.
So that was an interesting prediction. Mm. So he's got a lot of predictions in this issue around cryptocurrencies and things like NFTs, which is the non-fungible tokens, which is the latest thing that's the next step on.
Okay, and are they good? Are they good predictions for those types of cryptocurrency?
He has done a whole pile of predictions about how it will be the global currency. So it'll be a parallel global currency. So you'll have your in-country fiat currency and your cryptocurrencies on the outside of that, and we'll be using both by the end of the year, all of us.
Okay, what about the things that we've kind of expected to happen by now? The flying cars, have they ever been mentioned in Noel Moore's almanac?
Like, he has mentioned that there would be drone deliveries a couple of years ago, and that started happening.
Yes,
I think there was pizza being delivered by drone. So that was a really cool thing that was a bit Jetsons-like.
That is
so there have been some stuff. Mm.
And your takeaway from over the past, would say, 10, 20 years, what have you been the most, I guess, taken aback by, or the most maybe shocked or worried hearing about the prophecy?
I tend to like his celebrity predictions because they're kind of harmless and don't instill fear in anybody.
Okay.
So one of his predictions was that Wills and Kate would have a baby and it would be called Margaret or Charlotte. And that was like about a year and a half before they had that baby.
But that's easy, Nicole. You know, the royals only pick out of a handful of names. Like, I probably could have guessed that one myself.
He's a kind of a little one that's a little bit left of centre. When Kanye was all the toast of the world, he said he would get a mental illness and him and Kim would split. And this was years before it happened. So who would ever guess that Kanye would like lose his mind a little bit, have a bit of a problem with mental health, and then split with Kim? I mean, you would never have guessed it when they were married. So you kind of say stuff like that. That's kind of like, I kind of think that's kind of cool prediction.
Okay. Okay.
But it kind of depends what you're into, really.
And when it comes to anything in particular, celeb-wise in Ireland, is there anything this year that has tickled your fancy, I guess?
Yeah, I think there was one. I think Cillian Murphy's going to have a paternity case on his hands.
Oh,
yeah, DNA,
really?
DNA thing going on. Yeah. And there's also a prediction about U2, the children of U2, and there's going to be a bit of scandal there. So that'll be interesting as well.
Now, have you ever asked the psychic to speak about your own personal life?
Yes.
Okay, and have they been...
I bought Bitcoin.
Okay.
I bought Bitcoin in 2013.
Okay. Mm. Okay, you bought it at the right time.
Yes, and I've just created an NFT, a non-fungible token. So that's something that I've done, and it's now for sale. And so I've really got into that whole world now because of what he said. But yeah, stuff about family and stuff that nobody could possibly know, all that stuff. Yep, I'm right up there asking those questions.
Yeah, I find all of that so interesting. I cannot wait to get my hands on this year. So it's the 2022 Old Moore's Almanac, and Nicole Buckler, you are the editor of it over at the gorgeous Gold Coast in Australia as we freeze our little bums off over here. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon, and take care and have a lovely Christmas, of course. I think I can say that now to somebody who's all the way over in Australia. So in terms of the whole, you know, globe, not great news. There's going to be a second pandemic unrelated to the first. I don't know if I can, you know, cope with that. COVID passports are a new way of life. Men lose interest in university courses. Shaking hands and kissing will end as a greeting tradition, never to return. I like hugging. I wonder if that will stay. Marriage is on the wane everywhere in the world. Human augmentation starts as we merge ourselves with technology. And in regards to technology, medical technology will astound people in 2022. Blind people will see again. People in wheelchairs will walk again. That's a big thing to say. Obviously, a lot of people are, you know, this is massive stuff that's coming out here. Anyway, I find it fascinating. Do get your hands on it if you find it interesting yourself. And just to let you know, yesterday we were speaking about I'm a Celebrity. It's coming back on the screens this evening after being off air since last Thursday due to a storm that happened over in Britain. And Danny Miller, there was a big Danny Miller fan. He's an actor in Emmerdale. I don't personally watch it. And she was texting him about him. And Mary is not the Danny Miller fan. And she's been back in touch. And she said, "Hi, Kira. Remember yesterday when you were talking about Danny Miller and I said all he does is cries? Well, at the start of Emmerdale last night, he was crying. I rest my case," from Mary. So good to know, Mary. Thanks for being in touch. And thank you for listening. I will speak to you again tomorrow morning.
Kildare Focus with Kira Noble.